Welcome to the Perfectly Central episode 609, where Jeff is still upset that the poor kids prevented him from going to DC.
I'm upset about many, many things. We'll see how I do.
I did see that, and that was
That's what I remember happening.
It was probably was, but I just was like, oh, I'm sure there's better ways to phrase that.
There are not enough rich kids to go to DC. I don't know.
It's one of those things where it's also kind of funny from a geographical standpoint, because like going to DC for us would just be like you load up a bunch of kids on a school bus.
Yeah.
It's probably not a ton of money, but I can understand it from the standpoint of coming from Chicago. How far is DC from Chicago?
It's pretty far.
I don't know. I'm assuming it's drivable because you can drive from New York to. But
it's a long drive. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not a day trip. Like,
no.
We'd be staying in a hotel. Like, this, what I remember, like, and again, I don't know how it works. I don't have kids in school. So, like, I was a kid at the time. But, like, what I remember hearing is, like, everyone had to pay a fee, right? Whatever it was. And it wasn't that much. Like, it was like a couple hundred bucks. But, like, since they couldn't get enough people to do it, then it didn't happen. That's how I understand it. So, if that makes sense to you guys.
No, that makes sense. Okay. It was just, it makes sense. Like, okay, we're going to do this trip. And, you know, sometimes, a lot of times, older schools, they would fundraise off of that. So, that would be like the, we'll sell a bunch of like stuff, and this is the money we're going to use.
It is an 11-hour car ride from Chicago to DC.
Probably like an hour flight, whatever. But even I remember one time I did go to Springfield, Illinois, which is the capital of Illinois. It's like really far south from here, though. And I remember that was like an actual trip that we went on. Like we took a bus, not like a school bus. You know what I mean? Like all that.
Yeah.
But the DC one, I got robbed, man. I didn't get to go to fucking DC. Sad about this.
But I get that as a kid. You've been an adult for some time now.
I mean, I don't know. There's a million places to go, right?
Jeff doesn't fly a lot of times.
What's really in DC, you know?
Nation's capital.
A lot in DC. Tons of museums if you're into that.
Yeah,
but we got that. Like, you know, Chicago, that's the thing. I was like, most of the time I'm supposed to say, oh, we should go to New York. I'm like, you know, it's just like bigger Chicago. Like, it's, I don't know. Right. Like, I've never been there. But it's not what it's going to be.
That's not how I would describe New York, but sure.
It's they're like the two massive cities in the U.S. You know what I mean? Like Chicago is a massive city, I would imagine New York is way bigger even. But
it's a different type of thing, though, right? Like the museums are different. The artwork's different.
You're gonna see different. Yeah, you're interested. Yeah, but like you're never lacking. That's like one cool thing.
You're never lacking stuff to do. Yes, that is true.
Like if I want to go see art, like the Art Institute in Chicago is shit, dude. It was in Ferris Bueller. You seen it? Like it's
it's great.
All this amazing shit. Yeah,
just like there's something about going to like the Modern Museum of Art in New York or what's the other big one, Earl? I've been there. I can't.
I want to go to 1989. I'm going to 1989 Times Square. Can you do that?
You can see Times Square, yeah.
No, 1989 Times Square.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's what I want to see. You can't go back.
Old. See, so I just got to watch Ninja Turtles and Jason Takes Manhattan, and I'm good.
Now, to be fair, I think Times Square still looks like Jason Takes Manhattan, but...
Oh, really? You think so?
I mean, really, the thing you're talking about is more the grit and grime, which is more
than
But, like,
really, it was kind of cleaned up by then, or...
Times Square was never, like, a crapshoot when I was growing up. It has, I think when I was growing up, it had already been Disney-fied.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember, and I mean, Earl, you live there. Like, I visited. I don't ever remember being not family friendly.
Yeah.
Like the super, yeah.
Wow. One day, Jeff.
Yeah, one day.
And I think that you said Jason takes Manhattan when that's the OEC in the entire movie that takes place in New York.
That movie is so disappointing.
I grew up on it. The part when he kicks the kickbox or the boombox. Bam! Yeah.
Like, I enjoy the movie. Don't get me wrong. It's just funny that you're like, that's your idea of New York is Jason takes Manhattan.
Yeah. Well, Jason- no, like, well, or like Taxi Driver. It's, you know, I've never been there, so like my frame of reference is like the movies,
I get the grim and gritty parts of the park. It's just really funny.
He is not with us. I haven't actually finished intros. Earl is here, though.
Oh, I forgot we didn't do intros yet. But yes, I am back from another big city. Well, two big cities, actually. San Francisco and LA. But, you know, there's
been
no
place like... What's one of those? I've been to LA.
LA? What are your thoughts on LA?
Well, I mean, it was like when I was a little kid. We were, I think, going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
I remember driving on the 405 or whatever, you know, whatever that like
the 405
highway is. It was jam packed. Like, and you just looked, it was like how it is in the movies, like smog. It looks a million times worse than Chicago. Like, at least in terms of traffic, dude. Like, Chicago traffic is bad, but dear Lord, this is bad. We were trying to get like 1 mile, it took fucking an hour. Like,
so you've been to Chicago.
All right. Yeah. Well, Earl is back from California.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was your San Francisco, LA trip?
It was fun. It was very fascinating to do. Well, I've never been to San Francisco. That was new for me, but, LA was very much a social trip, which is just like, you know, going and meeting up with folks, friends from out there. And that was, I thought that was fascinating, just from the standpoint of, what was I going to say? Just from the standpoint of like being in a city and not actually having any, because I didn't do anything in LA that was like LA based. I went to Santa Monica for the first time and that was about it. Everything else was like getting from point A to point B to just point to meet up with friends for lunch or dinner or going back to my hotel room to catch up. To catch my breath between going out with people, but I do enjoy LA partially again because I at some point I've just gathered a lot of friends out there, either friends who have moved out there from school or people from Twitter and social medias, and so it's nice to visit. And San Francisco was interesting. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd go back or like I'm desperate to go back to it. I think all of its big things are like outside, and I did that all. Like, I did the Golden Gate Bridge. I did, you know, I did Pier 39. I did Fisherman Wharf. Yeah, I did Golden Gate Park.
you go to The Rock?
I went to The Rock. Yes, I had to go to The Rock. I had to pay my respects to Nick Cage. Granted, they advertised, what, Escape from Alcatraz? I'm like, ugh, there's one movie about Alcatraz, and it's The Rock. I mean, it's not that they advertise it. I do like how they talk about the escape because it's like they want to have a pristine record. So it's like, yeah, some people got out, but they were never found again. So we all think they died. Like, okay, you do you. You do you. Also, did not realize it was a prison for such a small period of time. I think it was only a prison for like 40, 50 years or something like that. But it's probably our most infamous.
Yeah. I mean, it housed what Al Capone was there.
Yeah, it was like the most dangerous criminals, as they say. But I mean, yeah,
it's such a fascinating locale too, because it's a.
Army base.
Yeah,
It was so fascinating because, like, I mean, I'm sure everybody's heard of The Rock, but I had never I've never paid attention to his history, and I was like very curious as to like why it stopped being a prison, and then of course it was just like money. I'm like, oh, yeah, always money. Because I think they couldn't. It was just, I mean, because it's an island. it's an island. And you have to bring everything over. Like, you have to bring in all the food. You have to, like, house all of the guards and their family. So they're like, yeah, this does not financially make sense. I'm like, yep, that sounds like America. So, yeah.
I think I saw you went to a new barcade while you were out there.
I went to several barcades. Actually, no, I went to one barcade. I went, the other place I went to was a, no, I went to two, never mind. So I went to three places. So I went to one in San Fran called the Detour. And that was a pretty standard barcade. I mean, it's kind of sad to say, but I've been to enough of them now that you kind of, what am I going to say? You kind of have an idea of what they are. And this one kind of has the games you expect. Like the, like, you know, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, some classic games here and there. What else? So yes, that one was nice. I did, and then I went to two in LA. The first one I went to in LA was more of a, what am I going to say? It's more of a, not a barcade, it's more of a nerd bar, which is slightly different. These don't occur, I don't find these as much. And this is only the second one I've actually been to. But the difference in my head is that these are, so this was Star Wars themed. And as everybody pointed out to me when I posted the picture on Twitter, they were upset because the Star Wars theme, but like the front menu used like a Star Trek language or something like that. I don't know. People are weird. But, so yeah, it's like, it's themed like that. It's themed as, let me make sure I could, cause every time I say this, I say Katana. Cantina. And then like all of the drinks and food are named after stuff. So it's like the you know, it's like the Charizard Buffalo chicken sandwich. They had like a drink called the Super Saiyan. They had the you know, they had one called like there's a Yoshi's Island and stuff like that. And those, it's, I mean, most of them are just your standard cocktails, but I always appreciate the thematics. Of like naming it after something famous, especially if you're going to be a bar like that. And then the last one I went to was, what is it called? Oh, it's called Fail One in LA. And this is very much what I considered not a barcade, and this is going to sound really ridiculous, I guess, but this is more akin to like a Dave and Buster's or GameWorks or any of those, where it's like it tends to have like more, those types of games. So stuff like, what am I trying to say? You get stuff more like House of the Dead and Time Crisis and like Mario Kart, like the big machines that are more kind of like social engagements and less like classic arcade games. And that's not to say that Time Crisis and those stuff isn't, but you don't tend to find them in barcades because of the size of the cabinets.
Yeah, you can fit like three regular cabs in like what a Time Crisis slot thing fits.
But if you go to like a GameWorks and stuff, like, they have those games because it's the ones that, like, again, very visual, have room for a lot of people, eat up your quarters and stuff like that. So that was just really fascinating to see from that standpoint. But yes, I think of the ones I went to, I'd go back to, and what is this? The one I went to was called Scum and Villainy. And that would be, I would go back to that one of the three I visited.
Nice. Well, we're happy to have you back.
Yeah. Happy to be back. Happy nothing happened last week to talk about.
We did talk last week about the Bayonetta.
Jeff and he was catching me up on
issues.
Yes, that has been. It was so funny because I think the story broke like the first day I was out west, and I had like because like people are like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't want to support this game anymore, but I want to, and then. I was like, I don't know what to tell you. And then as the story kind of progressed, it was like, I don't know what to make of this anymore. Like,
it went wild real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think ultimately what came out of it is, you know, voice actors probably should be paid more.
Yes, I think that was, I mean, that was my chief takeaway the first time, was like, oh, I did not realize they got paid so little.
Yeah. The union rate is
because she was gonna actually get in a pay bump.
Yeah, the union rate is like $1,000 for like 4 hours or something like that. It's like around there somewhere. So she was actually getting more based on what she was saying, but evidently not there was enough. More to it than that.
Which, I mean, I understand trying to know your worth, and I'm not going to fault her for that. I think there are ways to do it without misleading your audience. And again, I don't even think it, I think the big thing was like her asking people to boycott the game.
Yeah. Like coming out and being like, look, they're the real bad guys here. And
yes.
Okay. But like other people worked on this that are also not getting residuals. And and if you, I mean, I don't know if you, I don't think if you don't buy Bayonetta 3, like Platinum's not shutting down, but people will.
If we be all by if it. We all band together, I'll be playing Bayonetta 3. Sorry,
at midnight, right? That is out
tomorrow. Yeah, I pre-ordered that shit. I kind of with Christmas like. Should we get paid more? It's a weird thing because, like, if you take it as, oh, for X amount of hours of work, you're getting paid this much, it's a lot, but, like,
yes,
but it's hard to find steady work in a creative field, especially like this. And, like, this is like, it is an undervalued field, you know what I mean? So,
yes, and it's not tough. I think it's easy.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think it's easy to point to it in terms of video games, but it's also not like, to be fair, voice actors get mistreated in a lot of fields.
There's no voice actor that will only do video games. Like, so I just mean voice actors in general. Like they'll do
Well, yeah, because that's always one of the things with like one of these like big movies, like Mario, for example.
Yeah, it's like
Pride is getting paid a lot more than any voice actor would for that role.
It was just weird because, like, it's just to sell the movie. Because, like, otherwise, wouldn't you want to, like, save a ton of money by saying, oh, we'll get some random nobody? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
but yeah, that's the thing.
It's just so you can put Chris Pratt on the poster. Like, it's so stupid.
Which Jack people Black don't care about. Show, but...
Dude, do you think, like, anyone that goes to see Super Mario Brothers cares about that? It's Chris Pratt playing Mario.
No
way, dude. But you could have anybody doing it.
I think it does impact. Like, oh, I know Chris Pratt. Like, I know him as an actor. I like Chris Pratt. Like as an adult, sure. You're like, I'll go watch this with my kids. Like, I think it's more like name value, right? Like, Angelina Jolie is in
this. That's the point. Like, that's the point of it. But yeah. I don't think it matters. Well,
it doesn't matter.
They think it matters. It's like, again, who the fuck voiced Sonic? I don't even know.
Schwartz.
Who?
Ben Schwartz.
I don't even know who that is.
He's from Parks and Rec. He was John Raphael. Oh.
Yeah. I don't think anyone that wants to go see Sonic is like,
Sonic is different, right?
Like, I'm just say to your point, but like, that was John Raphael, like I, because he is, I mean, he is an actor, but he's also a voice actor. And to your point, I don't think he offered name recognition.
But like Chris Pratt, they will probably put on the poster. But yeah, again, like,
Jim Carrey is what sold Sonic.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe him. Because honestly, I went to Sonic, so and I don't know why. It's like a morbid curiosity, like what is this? Yeah, maybe Jim Carrey, especially because he's like a face and everything in it. But I just think it would have done fine either way. Like, I think Mario is gonna kill, dude. It's gonna make $1 billion. Like,
oh no, and I think that's completely accurate. And I think we've seen it time and time again where, like, because I mean, we've seen a ton of animated movies fail with big name actors because kids don't care. And yeah. I don't even know what's time.
Was that Will Smith one? Shark Tale?
Yeah. Because, you get something like, Shark Tale. You get something like Madagascar, and that has an all-star. But nobody's going, kids aren't going to see it for Chris Rock or David Schwimmer. They don't know who that is. And I don't think parents care. There are ways to get Chris Rock movies. I don't think David Schwimmer is a household name. He was from Friends, but I don't think he's like, oh man, it's Ross from. It's like, yeah, it's Ross. I don't think anybody knows who he is.
No one's going to see Ross from Friends in their animated movie.
Yeah. I think you get that with. I think of Friends, I think the only one who's an actual star is what's her name? Jennifer Aniston.
In Madagascar, isn't Ben Stiller doing that too?
I meant in actor Friends. I think she's the only one where people go to see stuff with her because of her.
Yes. She's a big star.
Because the only thing I've heard about, I've not heard from Joey he did episodes of a really good show. I think that's the last I've heard of him. And then I was going to say we've heard from Jenya recently because apparently he wants Keanu Reeves dead.
What a weird quote.
Why? It's an autobiography.
I know, I was saying that's such a weird thing to say. I'll be honest with you guys, I actually don't like Keanu Reeves as an actor, but he's supposedly, from all accounts, a pretty nice guy, and what a weird thing to say, regardless. Why would you say that?
Right. Yeah. Like it's not like he's some shit.
Why are River Phoenix and who else dead?
Chris Farley and
Heath Ledger. Yeah, guess what? They're doing fucking heavy drugs. I don't know, you were, weren't you, dude? Isn't that guy a fucking addict? What is he talking about?
Not $9 million, I believe he said he spent on recovery.
I didn't click on, I didn't read it, but I was like, this is the weirdest headline ever. This guy really say this? What the fuck?
Yeah, it was banana case, I will say that much. It was really not funny, because I was just reading that, and you would think, maybe it's something in an interview, maybe they have a relationship. It's no, this guy just really wants Keanu Reeves dead.
Yeah, why is this guy alive? I'm like, dude, whoa, maybe not put him in movies, but Jesus Christ, what are you talking about? Also, he's fine in the movies that, he works for. I think he's great in John Wick, but, I'm not, a Reeves fan. I see this weird. That's weird. This guy should be dead.
I don't think he's a fantastic actor. I don't think he's gonna.
Some people do, but I don't.
Yeah. I don't think, but I think he's smart enough to take roles that fit his strength.
For the most part, yeah.
A lot of times he gets to play kind of very stoic or a Darren Hedgeite. Both of those don't need range. I think the most range he's shown, and that was just him being goofy and himself, was what is that movie? Won't You Be My Maybe?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I thought he just shows up in that. Is it I thought it was a cameo, he was showing up as himself.
Yes, he is playing himself, but that's what I mean. That is the one where because Speed, he's very stoic. John Wick, he's very stoic. Matrix, he gets to be very stoic. Then you have Bill and Ted, where he gets to be goofy and stuff like that. So it's kind of those are his, that's his range.
Yeah.
He has two switches, goofy, stoic. He does a good mix of it in Replacements.
Yeah, I'd say he often does a mix, but yeah, he's a little flat, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yes, but again, he
should die.
He's not doing. Yes, he should die.
We like you, Keanu. Nothing against you.
We're all gonna die, Matthew Perry. Sorry to break it to you.
Although Jeff, you played through Cyberpunk, which starred Keanu Reeves. How much was he actually in it?
Kind of a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, kind of a lot. It wasn't like a minor role. It was like a cutscene type role. You know, he's like the guy who would talk to you.
Right, right. He's in your head, right?
Like, yeah. So it was like the game had a lot of cutscenes, and a lot of them were him fucking babbling at you. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe he was just kind of like, it's like a plot point, but not major.
No, he was like the major guy. He was like the major guy that would talk to you all the time. Yeah.
All right.
Not good in that. Much cheated, I don't know.
Well, Jeff is going to hear the new Bayonetta, voiced by Jennifer Hale shortly.
I cannot wait. The game looks amazing.
Very good.
What was that, Earl?
I said really, really good scores. So yes, I'm excited for it.
It looks great. It looks awesome.
It looks as nuts as the other ones. It's not something that clicked with me with the first one. So
I tell you, man, I don't know. I never played the first one, so I can't argue against you on that. But it's like awesome boss. Like,
wait, you never
played the 2 one? Is like awesome, like crazy over the top boss battles and visuals. And it's just like a snorting a line of coke from start to finish. You know,
you started the series with 2. On the Wii U?
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, that one. That's the one I'm saying. Like, and it had like little breaks between the action, but supposedly this one has even more of that, like platforming and shit. Like, it you know, it's not just fight to fight. There's like a little bit in between. I don't know how the first one is. So maybe it's like that all the way. But I thought it was really fun.
I remember the first one being like very Devil May Cry-ish, which makes sense. Kamiya is that guy. He created that for Capcom, so
yeah, pretty much. But it just has so much style, and it's just so fun. You're just like constantly having awesome action, and then you get little breaks where you jump around a little bit and do some shit. Oh man, I can't wait. The first game since like January that I'm like, yes, can't wait, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't been excited for anything since Elden Ring. So
I thought Elden Ring was, I thought Elden Ring was in February.
Was it February? Yeah. So, it's been a little bit, you know, that and honestly, Sonic for me, but I guess I'm kidding you, or it's a bit.
It's really, I was gonna say, it's really funny and weird because we've gone on and on and on constantly about how this has been a quiet year.
It is. It's undeniably.
It's been a quiet year. When I got back from vacation, I'm like, it's a quiet year, but why are all the games I want to come out?
I know. In a week.
Like, Gotham Knights came out, I think, Thursday. No. Mario and Rabbids came out Thursday. Gotham Knights came out Friday. Bayonetta is out tomorrow. I'm like, I'm just gonna wait. Either Target's gonna have a buy two get one free sale. Or these games, I think Gotham Knights, based off the reviews and word of mouth, is probably gonna make $30-$40 come Black Friday.
Yep.
And Mario and Rabbids, based off their first one, at some point they're gonna be giving it away on the eShop. I mean, one you could get for like a penny sometimes.
For sure.
I've seen it for like $5-$10 on the eShop.
If that game came out in June, though. Like in June, like somewhere a couple months ago, I would have fucking, all right, I'll pay $60 for a good game because I needed a game. Like I was dying for a game, like for really a while now. Like I think the last game I really thought was a good major game was Kirby. So that's what, March?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't very long. Like,
yeah.
It's a really good game.
It was a very good game. Very yeah. But it's just like since then, it's just like, give me the scraps, whatever you got, you know? What's on Game Pass? Like, yeah. I was playing Lawnmower Simulator this summer.
Didn't do that. You guys were playing the Power Wash Simulator.
You know what I mean? Like, it was tough times.
It was fun. But, yeah.
Well, it was fun, yes.
But, yes, it was not the greatest year. And we will reflect on that. It is so weird that this is the end of October. Like the next time we come to you, it will be February. I mean, not February. Wow, November. There we go. That's how months were.
We are taking, Earl has mandated, we are taking a 3-month break. Jeff, before Bayonetta comes out, you played a little bit of Modern Warfare 2. Now, that officially doesn't come out till tomorrow, right?
Yeah, so I think when this is published, it'll be out and all that. But yeah, like if you pre-order it, you can play it, like the campaign.
That's weird. Normally, it's the other way around, right? It's like you can play the multiplayer first and the campaign doesn't unlock. It's really weird.
From what I've read, it sounds like it was probably better if you paid the multiplayer first. So,
really? Well, that's good news because I think the campaign is fantastic.
Oh,
okay. Really, really enjoying it. Like, and I know, like, yeah, I've seen both ways, dude. I've seen people say it's a great campaign. I've seen people say, like, oh, we've seen this all before. It's true that we've seen it all before, but, like, I don't know, like, the campaign is fun. It's snappy, like, the controls, like, every level is varied and different. Like, you're not doing the same thing in any level. And the graphics are, like, the best. Like the graphics kind of blew me away on this game. Do you guys know if this is, like, a new engine or something? Because, holy shit, dude. Like, it's, like, one of the few games I feel like feels like next gen while I'm playing it.
I don't know if they did upgrade the engine.
It has like this photorealistic quality to it, like in the cutscenes and when you're playing, and just like the things that they're doing with lighting, it feels like a game that's taking advantage of like 4K and HDR and all that. It really does. But yeah, like I don't know, like every level so far has been something really cool and really fun. Like, do you remember? Do you guys remember True Detective? Did you watch True Detective?
Yeah, at least the first season.
So there was that one part in the first season where they were like chasing a suspect and they were like going through like a neighborhood,
the famous one shot.
They're like, yeah, running through people's houses and shit. Like, you do that in this, like, it's so awesome. Like, I think that's like level 3, maybe. Like, you're just like running into houses, and where did he go? And people in the houses are like scared, and you're like flashing a light on them. They're like holding their hands up, freaking out. Like, you run into one house, and a guy like freaks out and goes and grabs a shotgun from behind the couch. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's all scripted shit, which, like, that's what Call of Duty is. Like, you know, that's
roller coaster. It's a theme park ride, right?
Like, and I'm having a blast, dude. Like, the level I'm on right now is a super long level where I'm just doing air support. And I know I've done air support in Call of Duty before, probably, right? But it's just, like, it's fun going through a whole level doing that. Like, they're by the church. They're by the gas station. And you have to, like, zoom out. All right, where's the gas station? All right, there it is. Zoom in. Call it an airstrike. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Are you on, like, the AC-130 or something whatever. Like that?
Yeah.
The big plane with the different guns.
Yeah, it's just like you could do thermal imaging, and you have like a big gun. You could also call in like fucking missiles. The like opening level, like the way the game starts is like you're scoping out this arms deal. So like you're like up on these mountains, and you're looking down. These people doing like this big arms trade, and they're like, we kill this one general, we need you to mark him for us. So like you're just using binoculars, you look in and then you see the general, you mark him with your binoculars, like, all right, airstrike. Then you get a big cutscene with this missile coming out, and when the missile shoots out, all of a sudden you're in charge of the missile, and it's like doing the Death Star run, like you're fucking going through like this fucking this canyon with the missile guiding it, and you have to like get it there fast enough before it blows up to kill the guy. I don't know, dude. It's, you know, again, I've done probably half the game at this point. I would imagine 5 levels is like half the game, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I've been thrilled and entertained by each level. Like, it's, you know what it is, and if you like that, I think you're gonna have like I'm kind of like surprised by it getting like mixed reviews because it is what it is, but it's done really well in my opinion. I don't know, like if it's done poorly, I feel like I would notice. And the only time I've ever felt like that is Ghosts, which is a long time ago. So I don't know. And I honestly thought that the first Modern Warfare was more lackluster than this one, the one from a few years ago.
Which everybody was like, yeah.
And again, this is not based on any multiplayer. And I didn't get into the multiplayer in that one.
But you did get into the multiplayer with Vanguard last year.
Vanguard, as well as the year before. I really loved the year before. I can't remember what
Black Ops.
Maybe? Was it Black Ops?
Cold War, maybe?
Cold War sounds more likely. The best game. The last 2 years, I really got into, especially that. Yeah, you're right, Chris. Vanguard last year, I got super into because they gave you a little tank. That was one of your like early like perks or whatever, like a tank you could fucking go blow people up with. I'm sure this will have like neat shit too, but yeah, unfortunately, I guess won't get to play multiplayer till, well, probably tonight. Like by the time this podcast is out.
It'll be out, right? Comes out the 28th, so we're recording on the 27th. It'll be out by the time this goes up.
It gets my stamp of approval, but again, I don't even know like why even bother doing like reviews of this game anymore, because like they're always kind of like, what else is there to say? It's Call of Duty, dude. You know what you're buying into, right? It's just this one, I think, looks. I'm telling you, this one looks really good. I don't know if it's new engine or not. I don't know how it looks on last gen, but like,
and this is the Sledgehammer one. I don't know which year this is.
This is Infinity Ward.
Okay, so it's the originals.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, whatever that means now.
Yeah, and every one of these games has like 12 studios working on it, so I don't even like really think about that as much anymore. It's just a product that gets shot out on an assembly line, but it's pretty good. It's like McDonald's. There's like a certain consistency and base level quality to it that, you know, if you want a good time, there you go.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm glad to hear you're enjoying it. Look forward to hearing if you'd like the multiplayer. We'll see from there. I've played more Deathloop.
Is that amazing?
Amazing, no. But I am finally, I think it's finally clicking. Like, it took a while.
The scenarios get a little better, hopefully.
Like you have there's these threads, right? Like, and you can pick like a quest line. And actually, I think that it does that really well. Because otherwise, if you weren't able to pick a quest line, you would very quickly not know what to do in that game. Because it gets very convoluted, and you needing to go. Like, certain parts of the maps are only available during certain times. So, like, it's like, you know you have to go to this area, but if you don't have it tracked, you don't know when you need to go there. I'm glad it has, like, a quest log that you can be like, track this one, and it'll tell you, you want to be in this map at this time.
Like going back to levels that you've done and such, right?
Yeah. Well, they all like, so there's four different time periods. There's morning, noon, afternoon, and night. And each of the levels has like different, like they're all set up differently. And if you return during different times, like things have happened in between there. So like if you visit the one area before, you know, in the morning, it's all fresh and it's all set up for like an art exhibit. But if you then visit in the afternoon, like a car's gone through like a trailer and like the area has been messed up a bit. Enemy placement's different because some enemies, you know, died and things have happened to the environment. And things aren't available, right? Like, so you can only get the visionaries, who are the people you're trying to kill. They're only available at certain points in time. Well, like the main crux of the game is that you need to kill everybody at all these visionaries at once, like in the course of one day. Because if you get to the end of the day, it loops, everybody gets back to life. So you need to kill everybody in one time frame. You can only visit these areas once, you know, at one point. So if you go to the city area in the morning, well, you can't visit the other three in the morning during that time period. So, what you need to do, because there's six of them and they're available at different times, you need to find ways to get them together on a map at the same time so you can take out more than one. And I think
there's no way.
There's a lot going on. It's like there's like a lot of the quests aren't necessarily to kill the visionary. It's to like do something to set it up so that the visionary will go meet with another visionary during a time period. Like, so right now I've set it up so the scientist lady, she's going to see the millionaire guy at night. So the two of them will be on the same map at night now.
I kind of see what you're saying. That's why I would never get it. Like, it's not, it sounds cool, but
it's very convoluted. And without that quest log, I would have given up. Like,
I do feel like the game, like, surprisingly to me, like, the game seems like a game, like, if you're more into the story of games,
they would be more into. The story is really cool, like, because you're getting little bits of. Because Juliana clearly knows what's going on, but Colt, who you play as, does not. Like, he wakes up every day and is like, you know, he's trying to piece stuff together, but he doesn't have the whole story. The way the story is unfolded and the more you learn about it, it becomes pretty neat. It's a pretty cool way of doing it.
From what I've played in the game, it was more of a feature than I would have expected. Like, while
very story heavy, very story heavy.
Like, while I was playing, I was like, what is the thing that stands out about this that people like, why was this getting 10 out of 10 as a game of the years? And I was like, oh, maybe it's a story part, because like, that's the thing I just don't care. And like, I was like, is that it? Like, because it's the only thing that's like standing out to me so far, is that like, that's like unique about this, you know? And it kind of like feeds into the gameplay, it sounds like, a little bit, but
a little bit. Well, and so like, to the gameplay, the big piece is that like, if you, at the end of the day, everything resets. So including your equipment, your skills, everything resets unless you do something called an infusion. So there's a currency you can collect called Residium. And you can get a big chunk of it by killing a visionary. But there's other items like on the board that you can collect it from.
Like, you pay to keep from resetting, or
basically, you infuse it and you can lock it into your profile, like, so that it's still there every time you wake up.
Yeah.
So you're building out a loadout by infusing everything. But if you don't do that, like, you'll lose stuff. Which can be troublesome, because like, all right, I killed this visionary, I got their thing. They each have like a special skill that you can pick up, and I got their special skill, but I don't have the money to infuse it, so that means I'm gonna lose it. Like, I won't have it for my next run, and I have to kill that person again to get it again. So it does make like, how do I balance this out? Do I go and just kind of go into an area and collect all the residium that I can there to like infuse the items before the end of the day? So you have to make some like decisions around that. That's where like the roguelike
comes
into play.
Sounds like I didn't play it enough, but at the same time, wasn't my jam.
Jeff, you and Tony both said that like, arcane games just have not clicked with you, so
I think the stealth felt more interesting to me. Maybe it would like it sounds like there's layers to the gameplay that I was completely not grasping yet. So
yeah, and you like the stealth gets there is a level where you are tasked with killing this artist lady. But if you alert if you alert anybody, she turns on a she basically sets off a nuclear meltdown. So you might kill her, but you if you don't know how to stop the reactor from melting down, you'll die and you lose everything. Like she dies too, but everything resets. So like you want to do it stealthily. And there's another guy that if you kill him and get his special skill, basically you can go invisible for a short period of time. So you're using that to kind of like bounce from corner to corner, letting it recharge, setting it off again, moving up, maybe killing a person here so that you can move a little more freely.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
So like you were doing some stuff and you were having fun.
Well, I played this one level about 35 times. Because it's not only like are you supposed to kill her, but you're trying to find a combination in her artwork. So you're trying to find specific pieces of her artwork. So I'm trying to like look at the walls and find like what I need to click on to get that to log. And like I'm always alerting people. So finally, like I found everything and was then finally able to kind of move through and kill her. Without being seen, and then that just opens it up because nobody else knows how to turn on the reactor, and you can kill everybody freely.
Were you a stealth fan now?
No, I still kill everybody. Like, in fact, after I killed her that way, I then murdered everybody in the building.
Like, I'm free to go back about my business. Yeah.
I have a shotgun that when I shoot somebody with it, it then sets off an explosion. It's like you kill them, and when they die, they explode. So
flurry of explosions.
Yeah, when I go loud, it goes real loud. It's also very forgiving. Like there are plenty of settings. I've modified it a bit so that, because I was in that level. Like generally, if you play the standard settings, if you die twice in a level, you're done for the day. It resets, so you'd have to then start back. You'd have to start that level back over at that time period. You can set it so that, like, it just you have infinite lives, and it'll just keep rebooting you. Like that. Nice. That has made it a little bit easier to get through, and less frustrating. I was like, I'm not having fun by dying and then having to. Because, like, if you're in the afternoon, like, you have to go through two other time periods to get to the afternoon. It's, like, a lot of menu playing around in. And it's, like, no, I just want to play the game and I'm enjoying the story. So, 10 to 10s, though, that is nuts to me.
Hey.
Everybody has their opinions. It's on Game Pass. They just sent me a... I guess because I preloaded the Game Pass version. They sent me some like skins or something. Like, I don't know why I'd need that, but I now have cosmetic items for Deathloop.
Woo!
Yeah. Earl, you're playing the game that I am hearing people whisper about as a Game of the Year contender.
Oh, I didn't hear about all that yet.
I'm hearing multiple people say that it is maybe a possible Game of the Year. No, Marvel Snap.
Oh my god. I'll be right back.
I was gonna say that is a choice. I mean, I wouldn't hate it. It would still just be a choice though. What was I gonna say? I think I heard a lot about it on my trip, and mm-hmm. I was just like, you know, I'm just curious what it is. So I'm like, I'm gonna download it and just try it out. And that was a mistake, because like now it's It's all I can think about. It's like, oh, like, yes, I need to get some Marvel Snap in. So for those of you who are uninformed or who have done their rock for the past, I don't know, week, Marvel Snap is a card game from the creators of Hearthstone. Hold on. And it is, yes, it's from the creators of it's from the creators of Hearthstone.
People that worked at Blizzard, because yes, it's not by Blizzard, right?
It's not by Blizzard. That's why, yes. So that's why I was trying to be wary. But I mean, and it is honestly probably the most, it's probably the most straightforward and kind of user friendly card game I've played in quite some time. So how this works, unlike traditional, it's a deck building game. You build a deck out. You only have, I think, something like maybe 12 cards in your deck, 10 to 12 cards in your deck. And how that works is, sorry, my analog stick is doing its weird thing. So how that works is, like, you go and you pick cards, and each one has like a trade value. So it might take you one energy to pay this card. So it goes from like 1 to 6. And, you know, so like you want to build a somewhat balanced deck. Or you don't. I mean, I guess it depends on how you want to do it. And then a lot of cards have like an effect. So like Star-Lord, for example. If his card is a 2 power. And if you play it, so you have, like, you have your course of, you have your amount to pay it, and then the cards own like stats. So I've tried to organize this. So how you win or how you play the game is on that card game. Traditional card games are tend to be more battle oriented. You know, like, put down this card. This card has this defense. Your attack is stronger. You destroy it with the extra gold and take the damage or the hit points of the player, which is a pool and not necessary. So you can destroy a bunch of cards, but if you're not doing any damage, it won't do anything. And, you know, there's defense and trap cards and all that other fun jazz. This kind of simplifies that in a lot of ways. It gets rid of a lot of those elements. The biggest one is that it's not direct combat. You're not playing against, you are playing against somebody, but you're not like, fighting them. So instead, what you're doing is there are 3 realms or portals in the game. And you're trying to win 2 of them by having the strongest hand in that area. You don't know what they are. They are completely random every time. And you know the first one on the first turn, the second one on the second turn, and the third one on the third turn. So there's a risk reward in like playing, like, okay, maybe I'll play a card early here and hope for the best. Or like, okay, I know what this is. I'm going to play it here. Or I'm going to wait until the final turn, because it could range from anything. Like, there's one where it's like everybody gets a scroll that's a +1 on their thing, which is actually kind of cumbersome because you can only play 4 cards in any one area. So like that scroll would then take up one of those slots. Or it might be like, we're going to shuffle in 5 rocks, which is just nothing cards you can in your hand. I've had one where it's like, okay, whoever is controlling this area, like, they get +3 to the other 2 areas. There's one where it's like, you can only pay 1 card here. Or you pay a card here, and we're going to multiply that card. So, like, you pay 1 card, and that card pays 4 times. So, it's, like, stuff like that, where it's, like, again, like, if you paid a card early on and that one came up, like, you might have screwed yourself, because then that card isn't duplicated. Or, right. Like, let's say you paid a one attack, and you need to multiply by 4, that's not a ton of information, but like, let's say you play one that's like, I don't know, like for every card in this realm, you get like +4, and then each time, so you can go up. I've seen some ludicrous numbers. I'm still early in the games. So like mine, I think my highest has been like 40 something. I've seen people go up to 100. Somebody was telling me you can get to 3,000, which is banana cakes. And then the game itself is 6 turns. So whoever's winning it at the end of 6, who is ever winning the majority of the realms at the end of 3 turns, six turns wins the game. As an added element, there's an element of gambling in it. So they have what they call, I forget, it's like a risk reward. I forget what it's actually called. But like you can then, like let's say you think you're going to win, you're dominating, you have like two or three of the things knocked down. So you can then like, okay, I'm going to like double it. So then you can get like, you know, like you get one cosmic cube for winning. You can double it to two. But if you really think you're going to go, you can go up to four. No problem. Okay. So if you win, you get that four, and that's how you level up. So that you get more of those, and that increases your rank. But if you lose, you lose that, and that can decrease your rank. So it's like, yeah, I've had people who are like, okay, I got this. After they turn four, they'll do it. I'm like, okay, you got this. And then I will put out a card last turn, and it's like, it turns the whole momentum. And then they get so mad. I mean, I don't know. But
I mean, are you getting accused of cheating?
Oh, no, nobody says anything like that. But I was going to say, the other thing, which I think is actually really generous, is that any time, if you think you're not going to win, you can also just retreat, and it will just be a penalty of that, like, one cube or two cubes. So you can just be like, okay, you know what? This is, like, this person's dominating me. I don't want to go through this rigmarole. I'm just going to go. And that happens from time to time, too. I will say it does kind of, it's happened to me where people have done it on turn six. I'm like, it's turn six. Like, if you were going to quit, it quit at turn four or five. Like, we just needed one more card and we would have been done with this, but whatever. So, yeah, I think it's convenient. It does not, like, you know, force your hand. It doesn't, like, oh, you quit, so you can't play for another hour or something like that. Take the loss, you take the penalty. And you move on. And then again, because these games are so quick, I mean, six turns, it will probably take you, depending on the other person, you can probably finish it in like 3-4 minutes. You kind of keep on going. I think that, you know, like the decks are very simple to build out. I mean, early on, I still know you have probably like 40-ish cards. So like my deck is still pretty basic. There's a lot of cards that, like, as you go further in, it's like, okay, this card with this card combination, if you can get it, really works out. And so, yes. And so there's a lot of strategy that goes into it, but it's one of those things, like I said, I think, I mean, I always hate describing games this way, but it has that very Nintendo-esque quality where it's like, there's skill involved, but there's also some element of randomness because, like, with the realms, you don't necessarily know which ones you're going to get. So you can build out a card where it's like, there's been times where it's like, okay, so you can't use any 1, 2, or 3 gem cards here. Can't use any 4, 5, or 6 gem cards here. So you don't want to build a deck that's like all high-end cards. You also don't want to build one that's a bunch of old cards. You want to have that mixture. You want to have a bunch of different powers. You want to have for instance, you can like use each round. Again, each round starts off with, so you get 1 energy in first round, 2 energy in 3, etc., and 2, 3, and 3. So like Quicksilver is a card I have, and it's a card you start off with. And Quicksilver's role is that he will always be in your hand at the start, and it's a one gem card. I got rid of it, and I forgot I got rid of it. So I started the game. I had no cards to play the first turn. Not a bad thing, because again, it doesn't need to be upside. It doesn't mean like, oh man, I lost the turn. It just means that you have to be really judicious with your others. And it also means, like, the back end, it means, like, oh, I got a couple of 1 cards I can play in addition. Like, if I turn 5, I have a 4 that I want to play. I can play another 1 here. Or it's like, okay, if you're going to play a card here, like Hawkeye. If Hawkeye is, like, you play Hawkeye, and then it's, like, it's +3 to the, if you play a card after Hawkeye the next turn. It's, like, knowing when to use that. Which, again, like, is, like, I use it in first round a lot of times, but that just means it's, like, +1 or 2 to a 2-level card. Where if I paid it in the 5th turn, it means it's a +2 to, like, a 6-level card. And that could be all the difference in the world. Iron Man is a 5-star card, and that doubles your points in that realm and stuff like that. And, yeah. And I think, again, like I said, it's very generous for a free-to-play game right now. I can get all of the everything I've done. I've not paid them a dime yet. You get cards through everyone up and processing that, and then you get them. So you level up cards, but I don't want to say you level up cards. You increase cards, but they don't change stats or anything. You just kind of like, it goes from like a fat card, then the next one is like frame, And the next one's like 3D, where like the card, like they pop out, and then you can get exclusive art and stuff like that. A lot of gorgeous art. I think I showed some of that.
And how do you level? Do you just you unlock them, or do you level them up individually by using them?
So you use them in game, and then you get like fragments of stuff that are used to level up certain cards.
Okay.
And then it will let you know. And then you can also pay with in-game currency, which you get a lot of, to just like speed them up if you just want to, like, because like when you level up cards, that's you have your overall level, and that goes up by wins and losses. But then you also have like a season pass, which goes up by completing daily quests and weekly quests. And then you have what they call, I forget what they call it exactly, but it's essentially as you like upgrade cards and like break them and stuff like that, you go up in rank, and then that unlocks more cards, that unlocks gems. So it's like a tree, and as you go up, so like I just got like Odin, for example, and I got that off of that. And that some of them you get the same. It's like, okay, level 6 you'll get like Wolverine or something like that. But then like level 14 I think was like, here's a random card, you don't know what it is until you get it. So then, you know, that's where the diversity of decks and stuff come in, where people get cards. And so far, I think they've done a pretty good job of matching me up with people who have very similar cards to me. Because again, as you go on and get further in, you'll get more and you'll get better and stronger cards. But so far, a lot of people I've played have had very similar hands to me, with maybe one or two cards that I haven't seen. And again, the game does a really good job visually of letting you know when you've never seen a card. It will just flash in front of your screen, never seen, and allows you time to kind of read the card and what it is and what it does. So that's I think they do a lot of things super smart in here to make it accommodating, make it feel like you're not cheating, or that you're not cheating, but like, you know, you're not getting overwhelmed, that you don't feel like, oh, I don't know what's going on, this person's just dominating me. The only thing I would wish for right now, I think early on you do fight this the AI. It's like a way to kind of like have like a training deck so that you can kind of go and say like, okay, how, because sometimes like you kind of get a use for it, but sometimes I read cards, I'm like, okay, I don't know, like ongoing powers, they keep on saying that, I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means necessarily, I would like to see like how this works in conjunction with that card, or like right. Reveal this does, I'm like, I want to be able to go to a place and make, like, okay, I don't want to, because like everything else is like playing another player, like I want to go and just like mess around with my cards and see how they work together and that element. So, but yes, I think I've sunk into several hours into this game over the past 3 days. It's just a ton of fun. Like I said, I've shared pictures with you folks, and I've shared it with
yeah
people. It's like some, it's so great sometimes to like just get that lucky flip at the end and have that one card that like changes the tide of battle for you. And I'm just like, yeah, I am super stoked. I'd recommend checking it out.
I know you said you didn't spend any money on it, but like, can you buy packs of cards or?
Let me see. I know you can spend actual money. I don't know if you can buy cards. Yeah, I think you can buy cards, but I don't think you buy packs. I think you buy like individual cards.
Okay.
And again, a lot of it is very much I do like what they do with the characters. I showed you one of my unique cards, which was the Star-Lord and like the 8-bit style.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, you can buy, okay, you can just straight up buy you can buy cards, but again, you buy interesting, I wonder if that's how it works, because right now all the ones I see are variants of cards I already have. So I wonder if you can buy like actual cards, or is it just like fancier versions of the ones you have, or if it's just like they're not going to draw that the ones here or the ones. No, I don't have Medusa, do I? No, I have Medusa. Okay. So yeah, all these are cards I already have. So it might be that, or it might just be, I don't have Captain America, and that's in the bundle. But yes. And then, like I said, you can also spend currency on fast upgrades, which are ways to upgrade cards in your hand to kind of move up that rank. And then, like, you know, like a free-to-play game, you'll get credits for free, and then as you go through the game. So yeah.
Jeff, have you gone back to Disneyland or Disney, whatever that Disney game was.
Not much, no.
No, I was just wondering because thought there was like a Halloween thing.
I haven't checked it out. I thought you were gonna say you played it.
No, not yet. I haven't installed it. I just haven't got to it yet.
I haven't been playing much of anything. I've just been watching a bunch of like TVs and TV shows and movies and kind of waiting for like the next big games, and now like it feels like they're arriving. So yeah, that fell by the wayside.
All right. Well, nothing to report there then. Some news I pulled here popped up in our group chat. Fallout 4 is getting a next-gen update as part of the Fallout 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
It's kind of underwhelming. Yeah, I mean, it's just like Fallout 4 is not, I don't know, it was never something that really, it never clicked for me. And it seems like people would have preferred to have maybe something for 3 or New Vegas instead. I mean, that probably requires more work than what they're doing here. But
so
I guess that's coming out sometime next year. Also, I don't know if it's maybe older than 25 years, maybe not. But Age of Empires is having an anniversary celebration too. As part of that, they're bringing Age of Empires 2 and Age of Empires 4 to console for the first time. Those 2 is, you know, regarded, I think, by most fans of the series as the best one, and 4 is the one that was just released. So that makes sense there. Maybe that'll be something Tony jumps into. Those games just play better on a PC, though.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
I don't know how big it is, but the Rocksteady co-founders, Sefton Hill and Jamie Walker, are leaving Rocksteady, the developers of the Arkham games and the upcoming Suicide Squad game, which is not out yet.
Yeah, and that's never a troubling sign. When it needs to be like,
Halo works out, right?
Which one?
Well, did the actual heads of, you know, the Halo studio, did they leave during
the one guy leave during the director of Infinite left?
Well, yeah, but this is more like the doctors leaving BioWare or these are the guys that are running the studio as opposed to like who's running the game. They're like, we're out, peace out.
Enjoy Suicide Squad, I guess, when it comes out.
I mean, they say it's in good hands, and you know they have, but like I don't know. We'll see. I think people are a little sketchy on that stuff after Gotham Knights came out and did not necessarily set the world on fire. I've seen people say they're enjoying it. So, but yeah, so these two guys are leaving Rocksteady to start a new adventure together in games. So maybe it's just something with working. Rocksteady's owned by Warner Brothers. Maybe some of the internal shit there is filtered down to them, and they're just like, we're out. We're going to take our money and run. Start something different away from you people. Who knows? But, yeah, as Earl said, never a good sign.
I mean, it's also been a game that's been made several times, and I am still excited to check out Gotham Knights, and it does seem like people are having fun with it. Yeah. But it seems like people are having fun with it in the sense that, again, they're having fun with it, but it seems like it's one of those, like, you know, like sometimes you enjoy those games for just like, Nier Automata, I think it's in that realm where it's like, it's a janky game and people enjoy it for the jank of it all. And not necessarily because it's a well-made game. It's like, yeah, there's some good ideas here, that they could have fessed out a bit, and I'm like, oh, that's a great sign.
I'm hoping by the time I finally play Gotham Knights that they will have, you know, worked on some of the issues.
Yes.
We'll see. Another piece here. I thought it was interesting. Callisto Protocol was denied a rating in Japan. And the devs are, you know, Striking Distance Studios.
Well,
and their publisher decided they're not going to censor it.
Good for them.
So wait, okay, they weren't denied one. They were, wasn't it? It was ranked zero, which is like it's essentially like if your film gets a what is a Beyond R? Is it
NC-17?
Yes. Like you can get that, but people tend to avoid it because it's a death knell because like movie theaters won't show it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing in Japan. Like if you get that, like, that you have to get like a special bracket when a lot of stores won't sell it because you need to make sure like people can go in and see.
Can you just buy the game, like download it though?
Well, I don't think it's coming out in Japan, but I assume.
Oh yeah, this is canceled the game in Japan.
Yeah, I assume like anything else. I mean, if you're smart, you would just have like multiple regional accounts, and yeah, get it on your American one or your European one. But yeah,
yeah,
and, yeah. Yes. I don't want to. I just like censored. I would say more neutered. Because again, it's the same thing like horror films went through in the 80s, where it's like you'd have to cut content to get it down to a P or an R, because like yes, it is very much like yes, you can get that high rating, but it does not do you any well. So some people, like, it's funny. Like, I watched a lot of retrospective on like Friday the 13th and stuff, where it's like, oh yeah, no, they intentionally overdid some kills. So that when they came back and said you have to cut stuff, like, oh, okay, it's gonna suck, but we can cut this, and they would just cut the scenes that they didn't want anyhow. But yes,
or they over gored it up on some stuff so that they could get away with what they actually wanted.
Yeah, okay,
makes sense.
So where are you gonna hit this person with the sleeping bag once instead of four times? Fine, you got us, guys, you got us.
Yeah, evidently this is something that happens often in Japan too.
Yes.
They like Resident Evil, like the Japanese versions of Resident Evil are more, you know, I think you said neutered, is that word?
Yeah.
They're more neutered than the American counterparts or the European counterparts. So
and to be fair, this, I mean, it doesn't happen, but there are also games that don't leave Japan for that reason. That don't come. I've always said it's very fascinating because we have a higher tolerance for violence, where I think a lot of times a lot of games don't come over because like they have a different tolerance for like sex than we
yes.
do. We tend to be a lot more prudish, so a lot of times it's like, oh, and like this is where you see stuff where people come up with, like the vagina bone, where like, oh, this person they were, you know, like they get dressed up in more clothes or just skimpy outfits and people complain. But it's stuff like that. And then there's games that don't leave for that reason, because no matter what you if you cut out too much, it does not become, it's a different product.
Yep. And last thing here that kind of caught my eye was that guy behind Yakuza, Yokoyama, he believes that Game Pass has kind of helped the Yakuza series flourish here in the West, which makes sense. Like, you know,
yeah.
All that entire series has been available at one point or another on Game Pass. So it's giving people an opportunity to try its weird quirkiness. So good on that, though. Oh, and maybe less happy news is speculation has kind of come around. Phil Spencer was in a interview, and he said that he kind of hinted that prices on some Xbox stuff might need to rise next year. Most people are speculating that Game Pass may go up in price in the coming year. He specifically cited cloud costs have skyrocketed. So,
like, I would not increase the price yet. What I would do, and this kind of sucks, even though I just took advantage of it, I'd get rid of that loophole where, like, if you have a Xbox Live and you convert to, like, a month of Game Pass, you get that door rate. Because then that is a way to game the system. I got 3 years of Game Pass for, like, less than $100. If you can do it, fantastic deal. You can tend to find a bunch of cheap Xbox Live for a year. And you can match it out to 3 years and then, like, convert to, like, Game Pass. But especially if you don't have Game Pass, they usually give you, like, convert to Game Pass for $1 for a month. And then it would convert all of your Xbox Live Gold to Game Pass Ultimate. So I have Game Pass Ultimate through, like, mid-2025 or something like that. But I would get rid of that loophole first. Because, again, it's a way to, like, actually have people pay full price.
Yeah, and at this point, like, you know, previously it was, you know, we want you to convert from Gold to Game Pass. Like, at this point, if you're using Game Pass, like, you've done that. You've already done that, like, flip, and now you're just doing it to take advantage. Like, they have to be able to see, like, this person has done it 3 times.
Yeah, this is the second time I'm doing it, so. And again, I'm saying this as somebody who takes advantage of it, but I'm also, like, I think it's one way to go about it is, like, make sure people are paying what you're actually charging them instead of raising the price. So that would just make it more likely for me to do it again. So,
right. So we'll see. He said that, you know, nothing would be happening this year, so don't expect any increases there. And actually, some people are speculating that you won't see an increase until at least after the Activision deal closes, if it goes through. I think that is it. Jeff, you're going to have Bayonetta for us next week.
Oh, yeah.
And some more Call of Duty. I don't know. Games are coming out now.
Yeah.
Couple games. That looks so sick, dude. Like, I can't wait.
That's gonna suck when Jeff comes back next week and make OG. I don't get me wrong. I think if nothing else, Platinum makes a fantastic action game.
Yeah,
everything I've heard about it. The thing that I've heard that I don't think any of us would necessarily complain about is that a lot of people don't like how the story wraps up.
Yeah, I heard that too, but I don't know what they're talking about, and I also, like, that will, like, not even register for me. So.
I was honestly going to say, I don't even know the story. Something I
think. Yeah, there's a story. Like,
she's a witch, right?
I'm like, a hot chick. Yeah, I'm a hot witch. Fucking shit up. Like, what is it? I'm good.
I know she's fighting angels and demons, but outside of that, I'm like, yeah, there's a story. I'm so mad at it.
Right, I'm surprised that's, like, a thing.
Well, people are invested in it. I was just like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I just don't.
It might be interesting. It might be like Halloween Ends.
It might be like Halloween Ends, which is also very divisive, I think is the kindest word.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a word that I would use for that movie.
Yeah. Even though I think we're all in agreement that we enjoyed it. We all thought it was interesting, at least.
It kept my attention. I was not bored.
It was, yeah, I did not hate it. And it was like, this is fascinating.
Full spoiler discussion coming to recurring nightmares.
Yes. The one thing I will say, hopefully this isn't a spoiler, is that I really, really thought this should have been the middle chapter.
I have to say that.
Yeah.
Jeff's like, it was time for it to die. It
was no, time for I see people say that. To me, if you accept what it is, it makes sense to me as like a final. I like where it is, but yeah, it's all. It was interesting, guys. It's an interesting movie.
I don't know. Like,
you know, to talk about.
People are upset over the way, you know, one, they're upset like, oh, it's, that's how you're going to end the franchise. Like, one, the franchise isn't ended. Like, let's stop with that nonsense. They're going to make another Halloween movie with Michael Myers.
I even saw an interview with David Gordon Green where they asked him that. He's like, the reality of the situation is it's too profitable to say that there won't be any more. He's like, these were my movies. Right, yeah, yeah, that's how it is. Yeah, I mean, someone did their take on it, and we'll have someone else do their take on it. Like,
This movie has four different continuities right now.
Yeah, it's busted. It's like we're not doing like the, you know, some continuous thing here.
Literally, he's been set on fire. He's come back. He's had his head chopped off. He's come back. I'm sure they'll find a way for him to come back if need be.
Yeah, it'll just be a seven. It'll be, you know, we ignore that's that story. We're doing this story. Do a full reboot, whatever. There'll be something. But
bring back Danielle Harris.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly. It would be interesting if they were to do. I was thinking about this the other day, and this is nothing to do with video games. I was like, oh, they should do a sequel that takes place four, like have one and two and four be continuity and make.
You're playing to like a limited audience, but yeah, I'd be into it. But actually, they should just throw it all away. Just throw it all away and just
they've
do
done that.
Throw everything away. Lori, throw everything away and just.
They've done that. They rebooted the franchise. Didn't they? Rebooted the franchise.
No, like every time they reboot it, though, it's the Lori Michael. Like just throw it all. Just fucking.
But then that's
a new idea.
Like, what is your new idea for Michael Myers,
though? I don't have a new idea, but I thought the Hellraiser guys, the guys that did the new Hellraiser, like, their idea was just like, he's just a serial killer. People don't even know his name. Like, they don't know it's Michael Myers. They just know him as the Shape. And he shows up to different towns every Halloween and kills all night on Halloween. And then when Halloween ends, he disappears into the background, like kind of like the end of Hellfest, where it's just like, it's just a regular guy. That type of idea.
I wonder if that's why that kind of got shut down.
I don't know. I'm like super into it. Like I've had my Lori Michael story. I like that they did this like 4 years later thing, whatever. All right, now let's do something new, and I like that as a new idea of like.
Yeah, but I will say I think. I get that, but I think it defeats the core of Hollywood. I mean, I guess you can do it. You don't need Dory, but the core of it is really.
We've done it, though. Like, it's been done.
Yeah, and I get that. And I think, you know, they've tried different. And then, which is why I do think they try something different. But I think the core of it is really very much. It's like. And this is why Halloween, I think, still remains one of my favorite horror films. Because the core of it, you don't know who Michael is. He's never. I don't think he's named.
That's what's neat about it. Like this is just going straight to that. Like nobody knows who the guy even is. Like there's no lore. There's no like. They're like, oh, maybe if we did a sequel, we would go into like, oh, he was a kid who killed his sister and went to an institution. But like the first one would just be there's a guy. He's killing people. Like the most there would be people like having Reddits about this guy that shows up in every like. In different towns every Halloween.
So it's sort of like an urban legend. You know?
Yeah, yep. Like a Slender Man type thing, yeah. But
hear me out. What about space?
Space. I mean, I've watched that too. I watched it all. I watched Jamie Lloyd. I watched Space. I'd watch a full reboot. We'll probably get all of it hopefully before we die, and I'll enjoy all of it. And that's the thing. It's like even like I get people being disappointed with Halloween Ends, and I was as well. But it's just like at the same time, I've got my fill of everything I could have wanted in the series. So it's just interesting to see what they do.
I think, and this is probably something best served for your other podcast. But I am very fascinated by stuff like that, because it's the same thing with what was I going to say? It's just, I think a lot of Halloween tease with this, Friday tease with this, Nightmare to a lesser extent, where it's like they want to say something about the nature of killers and horror, and then they retreat from that, because like I thought Four's ending was interesting for Halloween, and then they just kind of walked that back. I think
it's next one, Forgotten.
Yes, Friday the 13th tried that with Part 5 both ways. They both had a new killer, and they teased that Tommy might be the killer. Friday the 13th, and Nightmare on Elm Street did it with Part 2, which I think was a bit different. But
I liked it.
I kind of liked. So watching Halloween Ends, that's the one that I drew most to, and I was like, what if Nightmare? Michael's not real? Yeah, like what if Michael's not real here? Like, and this kid is just seeing Michael. Like,
they should have done something like that. Whereas, like, Michael did die, like, after Halloween Kills, like, and he's just such an influence on this town that it just happens again no matter what. You know what I mean?
Right.
That would have been a way to do it. But, and they kind of like halfway did that. It was like, but it didn't make sense. We'll get into it. But it's like, it didn't make sense that, like, what is he doing?
Right.
Like, what is Michael Myers doing? Like, what is this thing? Why is he in a sewer forever?
Yes, there's a lot. It's one of those films that, like, I was talking to a friend who really hated it. I'm like, if you think about anything, the entire movie falls apart.
There's
a lot of stuff that are like, I mean, honestly, even the base point, the fact that this kid is 24 getting bullied by high school students, and not even that jock
band kids.
Right? You like slam, you'd beat the fuck out of those kids. Don't matter.
Or you don't pay attention.
I mean, yes, he does. He kind of puts them in their place, but yeah, it's like weird.
Which he doesn't.
Well, he does kill them eventually.
Yeah,
spoilers.
That's not putting him in the fact that like they push him and he gets so angry and they throw him over the bridge and he have like, dude, you're an adult.
Fuck these punks.
Go to their parents.
Yeah.
I mean, he does put that one kid in his face that one time when he's like, just because your dad hates you, doesn't
right before he gets thrown over a bridge.
Well, that's that was before, right? Or
but yeah. I was like right before,
they're on the bridge, I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, it's like band kids driving around picking on you. And I'm like, you're 20 something.
I know, right? I'm just like, fuck you, I gotta go work.
And I think the time gap also hurt that, because I feel like I would not have mind that storyline so much if Allison and him were still in high school. The fact that they are like adults and like they're like, we've been enough for 3 days, just run away. I'm like, you have a job.
See, you're making me kind of burn some of my what I've been saving for this podcast. But it's like, even if you like, all right, this is a good idea. This is what we're doing for a Halloween movie. It's like not executed super amazing.
Yes. That's what I said. Anytime you think about anything, it starts to fall apart.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, I don't know. It was interesting enough. Like, I don't hate it. Like, it's not like a movie I sit there and think about and go, fuck you for doing this. Which is what I expected, because when I knew the story going in, and I expected to hate it because of that.
You were not anticipating greatness.
And it wasn't, but, it wasn't like as bad as, you know what I mean? Like, I was like just prepared to be like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. And I think anyone saying that's like worse than Resurrection is crazy. Like, there's no way, dude. Like, it's.
I will say this much, and this is something that bugs me, and I've said this before. People have two extremes in their head. It's either the best thing ever or the worst thing ever.
Yeah, and it's like, these are all in the middle. Like,
a lot of things exist. A lot of things exist in the smack dab in that middle. But like, people, oh man, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. I'm like, is it really the worst movie you've ever seen? Whenever somebody comes out of a movie, I'm like, if I literally sit down and watch terrible movies on a weekly basis, and I don't say this is the worst
movie I've ever seen. Yeah, it's totally fine. Like, there's like a the one of the big memes going around after this is like Rob Zombie is owed an apology. I'm like, no, he's not. Like, his Halloween movie's stuck, dude. I'm sorry. I know there's people that like them, but I'm not one of them.
No, and it's also we've had this discussion before too. I think I dislike that people have to go back and recontextualize everything. Like, oh, it was a mistake, a forgotten classic. You folks are too mean to this film. It's like, you can enjoy bad things. There's no shame in that. Just say you enjoy it. Does not mean everybody else is wrong about it.
Halloween is definitely getting that treatment. It's already happening, but like 10 years from now, it's gonna be one of those ones like it's gonna be like a Halloween 3 type thing where it's like that's the one that you should this is the one that like is underappreciated. And it's like
I think it works in reverse too, because I feel like Halloween 4, that is the return of Michael Myers. I think that tends to get a bigger bum rap. Because it's associated with 5 and 6, where as a standalone movie, it's actually pretty fine.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Because of how it kind of leans into what comes with 5 and 6, people tend to be like, oh,
yeah,
it's not my favorite. It's actually a really good, it's a fine Halloween movie. I understand you didn't need to come back after 2, but. Like, they found a way to make it interesting. And then, 5 and 6 screwed the pooch. But, yeah.
It's good. It's really solid. It's one of the only movies that actually scared me as a kid. It's part 4. And the fucking Scream Factory 4K, dude. Oh, my God. It looks great. Like just watching that, it feels like just seeing it fresh, like, new. Like, you're just like, holy shit.
I mean, it's no resurrection, but what is?
Yeah, well, I gotta see that 4K. That just came out, so I'll let you know. I saw that, it's like Resurrection, H2O, and Part 6 as a set.
Yeah.
$100?
$100?
It's a little bit pricey.
A little bit.
What's it called? I had it on, they accidentally priced it at $25, and I and a bunch of people
did. Oh, yeah.
And of course, they canceled it right away. But
some people got them. It was $22. A few people got lucky. Yeah.
Okay. So they canceled it right away. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah.
I'll buy that when that set is $22. I will buy that shit.
Yeah. I'm not gonna buy it because I don't like one movie in that set. But at a good price, I'm not gonna say no.
I have the old Halloween set. It looks pretty good on Blu-ray, but those 4Ks that they did last year for 1 through 5 look, especially part 2 and 4. Holy shit.
What I need is that Friday the 13th treatment where you get that giant
box set.
Because Friday the 13th is even messier because 9 and 10 are owned by a different company.
I did some good work on that, but those are all standard Blu-rays.
Yeah,
movies you wouldn't expect though, got a nice polish, so that's pretty cool.
It's weird because there's movies I like 4K, but there's movies 4K to me was different than Blu-rays because I'll buy stuff in Blu-ray, but 4K I feel like is very very special. I'm almost certain my 4K collection is almost all comic book movies and a few Pixar films.
I'd say do a couple of those Halloweens. 2, 3, 4. I'm telling you, man.
All right. Well, go watch some Halloween this Halloween.
Happy
weekend.
Halloween. Whee!
Happy Halloween, Michael.
Go get your Silver Shamrock mask. Put it on. Call it a day. We'll be back next week. It'll be November.
No,
it's starting to get chilly out there, Jeff. For you,
mm-hmm.
It's November. Wonderful
time. There's nothing to look forward to anymore. Like Christmas, fuck that.
Callisto Protocol, right before Christmas.
Sure. But we need to live in this Halloween moment as long as possible. So I hope everyone had an amazing Halloween.
Yes. Go have a great Halloween. We'll be back next week with Bayonetta 3 and maybe some other stuff. Maybe Tony.
Maybe Tony.
Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.